I think that the keystone habit of pelvic health is poop.
I have an issue with how high the toilets are in general now. Have you noticed this?
Weightlifters, probably more than any other sport, need to be able to regulate pressure and balance their system the best because of what their sport is. I'll talk about sex, vaginas, and poop all day long.
Right, and we started seeing people treating the pelvic floor the same way that people used to treat the knee when it came to things like patellofemoral pain syndrome.
Because I bought a squat rack for our pelvic PT place like 3.5 years ago. But your bowels are like a carrier ship. They're not going to just turn around overnight.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me a woman who calls herself or defines herself as a pelvic therapist, and I love this. We're not going to just limit it to pelvic floor physical therapists, a pelvic therapist. She's the co-owner of Inner Dynamics Physical Therapy on the Jersey Shore, down the Jersey Shore, from the Jersey Shore, whatever you want to say. I got Jersey pride. And I met her 2 years in a row, I guess, at CSM, and was like, we got to do this podcast. So finally brought her on. She made some time, very busy, busy, busy lady. So without further ado, my friends, welcome to the show. Tamara, row your boat. Bless the priest. Ski down the mountain.
You got it.
Want to put that all together for us, my dear?
Row, bless, ski.
There it is. But how do you spell it?
W-R-O-B-L-E-S-K-Y. We changed it when we came over from Poland, and obviously to something more easier to say.
Yeah. I don't want to mess that up. So thank you, friend. I know you had a full day today. You were in the hospital before. You're going to go down that little rabbit hole and tell us that story. So thank you for making time. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been wanting to do this with you for a while, and I'm thrilled to be able to talk about it today.
Yeah, this is, you guys listening, this is a perfect example of ask. I'm always promoting that and touting that. And Tamara came up to me at CSM, was it 2 years ago?
I think so.
3 years ago? I don't know. It all blends together. Either way, it's at CSM and, struck up a conversation. And I'm always saying that, ask, reach out to people, start the conversations. All too often I get, people reach out and they're like, oh, I saw you, but I didn't want to say. And I'm like, what? Let's talk. So I am glad that you did that. And now finally we're making this happen. So why don't you then tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Again, my name's Tamara. I reside on the Jersey Shore. Fist pump for all of you people out there. And I co-own Inner Dynamics Physical Therapy. We're a pelvic specialty practice. And we've been in operation for just over 3.5 years here. I started with my partner, Allison, and it's just grown. It was just the two of us 3.5 years ago, and we were swamped. And now we've added 3 more therapists at our location, and now we've partnered with another pelvic PT down in Toms River, and they've opened a second location with another therapist. So it's just really taken off, yeah, which just tells you how many people have pelvic problems out there.
Yeah. Why did you get into this?
When I was 18, I actually all of a sudden had severe pain with sex with my boyfriend of maybe a year or so. So it wasn't painful before. And then all of a sudden, randomly, it was a sharp pain. So then I went down the rabbit hole of going to the OB, being tested for STDs, being, scraped and getting things tested and no one could find anything. And this was like a whole 6-year journey of no one could describe my pain and why it was happening. And then I actually flew out to San Francisco. I was actually scheduled for a vulvectomy, which is crazy. So
yeah, wow.
Let's cut out what hurts.
Yeah.
And then I wrote a blog about all of everything that I was going through because I was young and it was just a very emotional time for me. I was tired of keeping it a secret. So back in the day when health blogs were just starting, I got into the kind of the pelvic health community and started talking about my pelvic pain. And someone told me, like, I think it was like two nights or so before my operation, you should really go see a pelvic PT. So this was back when it was just kind of getting started, just kind of getting cool. My mom and I said, let's do it. We canceled the surgery. We flew out to San Francisco and met Liz and Stephanie out there at pelvic pain rehab. And it was the first comprehensive eval I had, you know, and they looked at my hips and my pelvis and started to give me some more answers. And so flew back, got a couple of hip surgeries, a groin surgery, went through a lot of pelvic PT and all kinds of things and decided that that's what I wanted to do with my life.
You had to fly somewhere in order to get pelvic floor PT.
Yeah. Yeah. This was way back when it was, everything was just getting started. There were only a few big practices and, you know, I think I just needed something extreme anyway. So
yeah,
my mom and I said, let's go for it. We had a great time in San Francisco and wow. Kind of the rest is history. So I've been through a lot and now it's just been an absolute joy to help people not have to fly to San Francisco and just drive, you know, 20 minutes to come see us.
And your symptoms, your issues, better?
Much better. So the funny story is when all this was going on, my blog got really popular. This was back in college because it was one of the first out there. So MTV contacted me, which... I had never watched MTV. I was the girl who was picked on in middle school for studying too much. So they contacted me in college and asked for me to be on True Life. They were doing a pelvic pain episode. I was like, sure, that's a great way to get all the word out because that was what I was trying to do so that people wouldn't be scared about talking about it. Because I'll talk about sex, vaginas, and poop all day long.
We need more of it. I love it.
But so then the funny story is they told me that the episode was going to be True Life. I have pelvic pain. And so we went through the whole filming, which was a whole other story where when you do reality TV shows, you actually have to walk through doors twice. So because they have to get you going into wherever you're going and then the shot from behind. So
they can't just use two cameras?
No, I guess they don't have the funds for that. I don't know. But so after like 3 months of doing all this, for the longest time, I would like immediately turn around when I came through a door because I knew I would have to, I thought I would have to do it again.
Wow. That's it is like in.
Because I was used to just going through doors twice. But
yeah, it's like in your head.
But anyway, so then through all this, they changed the name of the episode to True Life, I Can't Have Sex. So.
Oh.
That was awesome for my college
popularity
status. So, and then I got recognized out for the next 2 years everywhere. Like, you're the girl who can't have sex. You're the girl who can't have sex.
Wow. Wow. MTV.
Mm-hmm. D-list celebrity.
Oh, goodness me. Wow. Wow. And then from there, you were like, yeah, I want to go and do pelvic floor, pelvic PT. Or what happened?
I was out in Denver. I was in environmental advocacy doing my first career. And then I was just in severe pain. Like it just wasn't working. And everything in my life is dramatic. So my parents were halfway across the country in my car with all my stuff to move me into Denver. And I called, you always call your dad when you're in trouble, not your mom. So I called my dad on the floor in the bathroom crying, like, I can't do this anymore. I've been there for about 2 months. I said, I can't do this. I got to come home. Like, things aren't right. I need to just restart my life. So my poor dad did a U-ey on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. So he had to pay twice. And they came back. I flew back and I just kind of reevaluated everything and said, you know, this is where my true passion is. I loved writing about it with the blog, but I can do so much more than that.
Wow. And then here you are.
Here I am. on a Tuesday
when you were in school, right? Like, damn, when you were in school, so you knew the whole time. Like, I know a lot of people go into PT school, and like myself included, I didn't even really know if I wanted to do PT. It was kind of just like a second choice, like, oh, okay, like, why not? You went in and you were like, this is it, this is what I want to be doing. And how was that going through school then? Because I don't know, in my opinion, you kind of learn a lot of shit you don't care about in PT school, and you're like, oh, this is not fun. How was that?
It was great because I feel like I had direction right away and a purpose.
Yeah.
And I just knew. And then I was able to tailor everything around that. So I took, I got involved in the section on women's health pretty much right away. So I'm very much involved with them right now. And even as a student, I was. I went to a bunch of courses back when I was a student. And then I was just known as that annoying girl in our class, as like the pelvic girl. You know, they would always turn towards
That's
me when
thing.
They mentioned pelvic floor, you know, the one time in the orthopedic lecture, they'd be like, yeah, just ask Tamara. And it was good. That's it gave me thing. Direction. And I loved learning everything else too, because especially now that I'm in it, so much of what I do every day is from other places. So I really appreciate mm-hmm. getting that schooling in neuro, in vestibular, everything, even like working in a hospital, everything's connected. So,
yes. So talk to me a little bit about that. What does your practice look like? What do your treatments look like? What are you treating? What are you seeing? A lot of people don't know pelvic floor physical therapy. Like, I try to champion it and I brought some people on, but educate the people.
Well, it's awesome. So if you're not involved in it, you should, because it is orthopedics, and all the
yes.
pelvic PTs I love are orthopedic based. So we don't just like shove our fingers into people's vaginas or rectums all day long. We look at the whole person. I have my practice right now. I have people who are like, I have babies. I don't see them. One of our staff members sees them because I don't do children, because they can't communicate to me what's going on. But we have babies to, I have a 95-year-old woman. I see pretty equal men and women. I really like treating men, especially like male pelvic pain. And mm-hmm. I love the guys post like prostatectomy, because especially yeah. I have a lot who come who are like these blue collar, just really tough guys, and they come in and they're in like a vulnerable place, and then we start talking about everything, and I'm like an old man at heart, so we get along great. And a lot of the times, you know, we're in the gym the whole time. I love surprising people. They think they're coming in to pelvic PT, and it usually takes them a long time to come in because they're just nervous, because they yeah. think like the people listening to this, that I'm just going to shove my finger in them and that's yeah. all we're going to do, and learn like Kegel together and sing Kumbaya. But uh-huh. we're out in the gym doing, you know, functional lifting, and I kick a lot of people's butts all day long in the gym, and it's awesome. So it's a balance of everything. I see constipation, pelvic pain, groin pain, hip pain, low back pain, a lot of chronic pain, people who just have not gotten anywhere from anywhere else, because we kind of take a step back, I guess, and look at the whole picture. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of incontinence. We see prolapse. That's a pretty good.
I guess that's a yeah. lot. You guys take insurance? What's your model like?
Our model is we are out of network with mm-hmm. with all insurances, but we take Medicare, and
okay.
and we've got a great cash rate, and we see people for an hour or so evals, and then 45-minute treats. We're all one-on-one. We've got a great setup as far as our physical office, with like 5 private treatment rooms, and everyone has their own room. So like my room is the mountain room. You go in, everything, like it's always the same. Mm-hmm. I got nice music playing. The light's perfect. Doesn't feel like an yeah. office. And then, so we have that kind of almost relaxation side where you go into the room, you feel safe as soon as you walk in. And then we've got this nice big gym where it's a different feel, different lighting, and that's on purpose. So we joke, mm-hmm. you know, amongst us at work, it's like, yeah, I got to get that patient out of the room. We really got to get out of the room into the gym. So we're trying to, you got to do both, especially with a lot of pelvic stuff. There's definitely time that you need to spend in the room, kind of calming everything down, making people feel safe again. But then, you know, everyone knows you got to get them back to moving
yeah.
with confidence and doing a little bit of both.
I love that you just explained all that, delineated all that, because there is a gross misconception as to what pelvic floor physical therapy will look like. And I think even amongst pelvic floor physical therapists, I know, so I, back in another life, did that and treated, you know, within a facility that pretty much specialized in pelvic floor physical therapy. And this kind of got me into it. It's got what got me, you know, really down the rabbit hole of chronic pain and pain science and breathing, all the stuff that I really love. But one of the things that I saw was like it became so divorced from the whole person, right? And we started seeing people treating the pelvic floor the same way that people used to treat the knee when it came to things like patellofemoral pain syndrome, right? Where like you would just focus on the knee.
Exactly.
And so you see this with the pelvic floor. People think when it was pelvic floor physical therapists too doing this, right? Not just the patients, where it's like the person comes in with what they think is, you know, pelvic floor pain or pelvic floor dysfunction, and that's all that they would do is either poke it or put a probe or something. And, you know, you got to take a step back and be like, hey, this is just like an elbow. It's just like a knee, just like any other body part, and it's attached to a human. And so we have to look at the big picture and the whole system and treat that whole person. So, yeah, there's a time and a place where we go after that actual specific area, but this is in the context of a full treatment. And then our ultimate goal is to bring that person out of the room. Like, I love that. You know, like we have to make sure that we're, no matter what it is, no matter what kind of therapy it is, that we're making it functional for this people, because that's what they're trying to get back to, like function.
Exactly. And when I was going through all this, I have been around the block myself to a ton of pelvic PT. So I've seen good and bad. And there are too many that just lock you in the room and that's where you feel like you are. Yeah. And they never give you the confidence to go back. And I think that's so important. That's why I like having that duality of room plus gym, because it's just a great space for people to have both.
Were you like that from the beginning? Like, have you always been in this practice? Because this is your practice. So what did this look like when you graduated? You worked for somebody? Like, what happened?
Yeah, so my last rotation was with Allison. That was my fourth rotation, because I knew this is always what I wanted to do. So they let us pick our last rotation. And the funny story is I was with my ex at the time, who was not right for me, but I guess the reason he was in my life is because he lived right down the street in New Jersey. And that's where I'm from, but I've always wanted to go out to the mountains. I'm a big mountain climber. I wanted to go out to Denver. I actually took my boards through Colorado, but he still lived there. So I said, you know, let me look up a pelvic PT in New Jersey. I can do my last rotation there, try to make it work with him so I can live with him and commute. So I emailed Allison and then just like cold call. That's kind of how I roll anyway. And that's how you all should do it, because you have to ask. Like just ask. You would be surprised just by asking what you can get. So I cold emailed her, and she was, you know, she said she agreed to meet me, but I could tell that she was a little unsure, because like some like crazy kid is coming in like, let me learn everything you know. And I met her, and the funny story is that day we tell this all the time. She was in like these skinny jeans with these little booty shoes, and she's Italian, so she had her hair like a little full that day, and she had this fur vest on that I still make fun of her for. And I took one look at her, I go, oh no, we are not going to get along. And she's absolutely fantastic. She and I were meant to be. She dealt with so much herself. She dealt with leukemia as a kid. That's how she got into all this. So we both right away had this strong connection where we've been through it. And she is the most compassionate, sympathetic person I have ever met. And we just connected right away. We started that last rotation. She was just renting a room from an orthopedic PT, and she was overwhelmed. She had been doing this for 15 years and was really well known on the Jersey Shore, but didn't have any help. She really needed help. So I came in, we started seeing like two caseloads, and it just started getting so full. And it was hard to do in that space because the rooms were right off the gym. So like people would be hitting balls into the wall, and you're trying to do pelvic relaxation sometimes, and you've got the noises going on outside. So she met me in the parking lot one night and said, you know, why don't you, I think this is what I've been waiting for. Why don't we open something up together? So when someone says that, even if it's New Jersey and not the mountains, you jump at the opportunity.
Wow. I love everything about your story. Yes. Ask. Look at this and the opportunities. And so how long has this been a thing now?
This has been 3.5 years, and this is just that's taken off running. Like I said, we opened that up, and we've worked our asses off. We painted our office ourselves. We did the laundry ourselves for a year or two, and we were just seeing people constantly all the time, and then we needed help, and then we have all these great stories of how we've met all of our staff members, how they've come into our lives, and now there's 5 of us at the Ocean Clinic, and it's just been fabulous. And we're still growing. We're still insanely full, which is great. But, you know, it's a problem in that we need to have better resources for people out there. So it's a great field to get into.
Yes. If people, I got some other questions, but it's a nice segue here. If people, some young folks out there, some new grads, or even people just looking to change from what they're currently doing, are looking to get into pelvic floor physical therapy or pelvic physical therapy, what would you say to them? Any advice?
I would find some good pelvic PTs, whether they're in your area or just close enough to you that you could go visit them and start to talk to them. Again, ask. Maybe some people very close to you are going to get defensive and not want to talk to you about it, but certainly go like an hour or two away. I just had some people from Pennsylvania who are really strong orthopedic therapists. They asked, they wanted to come and learn more about what I do. And so we did some sort of consulting where they came in on a Saturday. I arranged some pro bono cases for them to see, and I taught them a lot. So you can do stuff like that. There's a lot of resources with, you know, you should take courses through Herman and Wallace or the section on women's health. And then I know Pelvic Guru has a ton of courses herself where she teaches. There's all these great resources out there. Start to get involved. And then once you do that, there are so many different ways you can become a pelvic PT. You can see something really specific. Right now I'm working a lot with weightlifters and athletes, and so you can create these subsets for yourself, which is really awesome.
All the resources, you guys, I'm going to link them in the show notes. I'm actually going to bring on a good number of other pelvic floor PTs who she just listed. But I'm stuttering there. Pelvic Guru, that's Tracy Scher. She's a good friend of mine. And actually, that's where she was actually my instructor when I took a course. My first course is through Herman and Wallace. She'll be on the podcast. I'm going to bring on Julie Weeb. I have her coming on next week. And I already did an episode with Brianna Battles. And I already did an episode with Carrie Pagliano. Who is just such a fucking unicorn. Love her.
I love her too.
So you have a bunch. Like, she's just like so wonderful. So you got some resources for you guys. I will link them in the show notes, and you got some more coming up. But this is why also I wanted Tamara to come on, because she is in the trenches. She's doing the thing. She's leading the charge and is also a hugely valuable resource for you guys. So I want to keep going down that little rabbit hole there and talk about you and your lifters now. What's going on?
It was just a great opportunity. Again, a great story where one of our current therapists was our student at the time, and she was a CrossFit coach and was working with people. And then someone mentioned that one of the lifters mentioned they had coccyx pain and peed while lifting. And she's like, you really need to go to the place that I'm working at right now. So she came in, Allison evaluated her, worked with her for a bit, and then kind of was like, go see Tamara. She'll help you with some of these lifts now. And I bought a squat rack for our pelvic PT place like 3.5 years ago, which was so funny when I was having the conversation with Allison, because we were trying to figure out what we needed to buy. And when you make a list of what you need to open up a pelvic PT practice, squat rack is not normally like number one. But I sat Allison down and I said, I found this on Craigslist. I really think we need a squat rack. And it was really just so that I could work out after work, because I knew I was going to be there for a while. But it ended up being where I use it all the time. And so the lifter is Katie. She's the lifting librarian on Instagram. So she came in and I've worked with her now for over 2.5 years. And through her, I kind of met a lot of people in the weightlifting community. So her former weightlifting coach was all the way out in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. Forgive me, Mike McKenna. he's like 30 minutes south of York. He's awesome. I love him to death. So she introduced us, and we met in Florida because we sponsored Katie to go to University Nationals, and she ended up winning 6 gold medals at that event. So I actually took her down there, and she did really well. And so I met Mike there, and he's amazing. He knows a lot. You would love talking to him. He's just a great resource. So I traveled to his gym because he invited me to come. He was giving some sort of master's seminar weekend or something. So he's like, why don't you come and just like talk and do a spiel? So I worked all week. I woke up early Saturday morning, drove all the way there, kind of came up with what I should say in my head on the way. And it was a huge hit. And so I did that. I've done that a couple times now. And then it kind of evolved where I met the medical director of USA Weightlifting. And then they contacted me about, you know, they did their first female camp last year in Las Vegas. And they're like, you should go and give your spiel, because it became this thing called Supercharge Your Pelvis. I wrote a big article about it for USA Weightlifting, which is a great resource. If you ever want to send something to people who really need a buy-in on why pelvic PT is cool, I think it's a great article that introduces how the whole system is related, and it's not just your pelvic floor. And
I love it. I will link it, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah. So it's just kind of taken off from there. And then I just got back 2 months ago from the American Open in Milwaukee, where I did a talk. And they're really doing, USA Weightlifting is doing a great job right now of promoting pelvic health, because so many lifters pee when lifting. And it's amazing how normal it's become. And yes. I'm so happy that people are starting to listen and realize that there's a lot that they can do to improve their performance. And that's really how I've been selling it, because a lot of people don't want to show up, or they think we're just going to do Kegels again. And it's true. Like, if everything is operating in your system correctly, obviously you're going to lift more weight overhead.
It's like, I love how you said that so nonchalantly, but it's not so intuitive to people.
No.
Like, at the end of the day, that is spot on. And that is like, yes, if things are functioning optimally and everything's in sync, you're going to do better. But people don't really think about that, or they're kind of just floating and getting by. And I love that you've reframed it in terms of performance, because at the end of the day, that's what sells.
Right.
Like, people don't want prophylactic measures. They like don't care what's going to happen later on the road. It's like they want performance. They want it. Sex sells. So when you're like, this could help you do this, do X, Y, Z better, you get buy-in. So smart.
I mean, meet people where they're at. Like, that's when, if you want to get into this, you got to sell that too, because a lot of people have what they think pelvic PT is and what it can do for them. And you have to make it sexy. Like, we're contacting a lot of urologists now and restructuring how they do like pre and post care after a prostatectomy, because the guys were like even scared to come in, because they're like, I'm just going to sit there and like learn how to do what my wife does after she has children. That sounds awful. So you need to be creative, make it sexy. And it's amazing. People love it.
Ah, you are speaking my language. I'm so excited.
which brings me, this is what, 27 minutes in. And the reason I wanted to talk to you is because, have you read The Power of Habit?
I have not. Talk to me. Tell me more. I am familiar with it. I have not read it.
I'm a book person, so everyone should definitely read that book. I just read it maybe a couple months ago. So in The Power of Habit, they obviously talk about good and bad habits. And one of the best things they bring up, which I love, is called Find Your Keystone Habit. So they've done this with people, but they've done it globally in companies, where they fix one thing and that keystone habit then fixes everything else. There's a chain reaction, like that, the ripple effect happens. So they show some really cool examples in businesses where they just focus on one thing and then everything else falls into place. So this goes into the whole making your bed in the morning thing, why that ends up working a lot for people, mm-hmm. because that could be a keystone habit. So I started reading that book and thinking about it, and now that I really love, I've been using that with patients because we want patients to do their exercises. A lot of 9 times out of 10, they're not doing them. So then what is their keystone habit? It's probably not exercise. What is it? One woman, it was her, instead of giving her the homework to do, she had to do her hip stuff, wasn't really doing it. Then we figured out that it was, she had to put her dishes away the night before and pack her lunch. And that was her keystone habit. So when she did that, she's come in now like 8 weeks straight being like, I've done all my hip stuff in the morning. That's my favorite thing to do now, like figure out what people's keystone habit is. And so now I think that the keystone habit of pelvic health is poop.
There we go. Let's talk.
Let's talk.
Let's
so
go.
I think it's so important. And the three things that I want people to get out of this today is that I want you to start looking in the toilet when you yourself poop. I want you to start to ask your friends how they are pooping. And I want to start everyone to ask their patients how they're pooping. I don't care if you never do pelvic PT. I'm talking to all the orthopedic therapists out there. I'm talking to fitness professionals, anything. I want you to ask your clients, your patients, how they're pooping, because I don't think we don't do it enough, because we don't want to talk about it, because poop is not sexy. And I haven't figured out a way yet to make it sexy, but it's super important.
That was so my next question. I was like, how are you making this sexy?
I thought of, you know, you can be the poop therapist with on the back of the shirt, leave the shit behind. That's kind of cool. But it's still a work in progress.
Work in progress.
When I was at Mike McKenna's gym, the funny story is I was giving that talk, and then I do consults afterwards, and I made sure I got my Pennsylvania license so that some of these people didn't have access to a pelvic PT, so we were able to do some evals and treats there. And the one time I went, I want to say there were 6 people who came to me. Pretty much all of them, their chief complaint was like left hip pain, left groin pain, left low back pain, or just general low back pain, something like that. And all 6 of them, they'd been, you know, they've gotten ART, dry needles, massaged, they've done hip strengthening, they've done all that stuff, and all 6 were constipated. Mm. I swear to God. And I did abdominal massage on all 6 of them. And then Mike came to me the next morning, like cursing me. He said, you got to start bringing like poopery. My gym stinks this morning. They all pooped the next day and they are all doing so much better. So then I realized that that's something I got to start asking more.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. People, are we allowed to say shit?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay. We have to get comfortable talking about shit.
We do.
And you've got to be able to meet your, whether it's your patients, your clients, you need to be able to talk to them about it, because that's going to tell you so much about their health.
For sure. I mean, you as a provider, you guys listening, you as a provider, you need to be comfortable with the things that you're talking to your patients about, because you set the tone. Like, whether you guys believe in energy or not, whatever, or you believe in mapping, whatever. What you put out, you're going to get back. And so if you are not comfortable talking about certain things, your patient, client, whatever you want to call them, is going to feel it. And that's one of the first things I learned as a pelvic floor physical therapist when I was doing that, and why now moving forward, whenever I have students or people talking to me that are very interested in pelvic floor physical therapy, and they're, you know, personable, I'm always like, go do it. They need you, because the person that can create that atmosphere, you're going to have exponentially better results and a better buy-in, better prognosis. So whether you're talking about sex, you're talking about shit, whatever, we need to be able to set the stage for that. And, you know, it's only a matter of time before the pendulum goes that way, in terms of, you know, people are so concerned with, finally starting to be so concerned with what's going in their body. We should, at some point, they're going to start realizing, like, oh, we should probably be focusing on what's coming out. And that's going to matter.
Coming out at all.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
So what kind of, What kind of things are you seeing? I mean, you said you had all those lifters in a row, and that makes sense. Left-sided, everything. But, you know, on a day-to-day with your patients coming in, this is something that you've been asking them more? You seeing trends, or what's the deal?
Well, we have people who come in for straight-up constipation, who come in from their gastros and know that somehow we can help. And I'd say for those cases, you know, the gastros aren't as educated as I would like, and just say that they have pelvic dyssynergia, which I don't like, because I don't even like that test. Because obviously, if you put a balloon up someone's butt in front of a lot of people, my pelvic floor is going to contract and not want to release it.
I always wonder with that test. I was like, this seems like not a very good baseline.
No, but at least you get them through the door. And then when I see those people, I mean, a lot of it is looking at their abdomen. And that, like, I joke that so much of my day is spent doing belly rubs, but it's all about decreasing pressure from above. So I see a ton of pelvic pain and problems like that. And we need to, before I even want to do internal work is really painful. And I've been there, I've done that. Before I even want to poke around in there, I want to decrease pressure from above. Because if you're constipated, I could do work on your pelvic floor all day and your hips all day, and it's just going to tighten right back up again. Because guess what? Shit weighs a lot. It weighs like, you can't find everything, but it weighs like 4 to 5 pounds.
Yes.
And that's a lot.
A lot.
So things are going to be tightening up underneath. So I really try to regulate pressure from above. And that's what that article really is about. And that's what I'm trying to educate weightlifters about, because they're putting so much weight overhead. And I hate, you know, there's some pelvic PTs, but or just people in general say, well, weightlifting's bad for you. Weightlifting's bad for your pelvic floor. That's not true. But weightlifters, probably more than any other sport, need to be able to regulate pressure and balance their system the best because of what their sport is.
Yes, exactly. So,
you know, I look at the abdomen a lot. You know, how do the ribs move? How does their actual like fascia of their abdomen move? A lot of people end up gripping through their stomach.
Yes.
We're told to suck in our stomach all the time. That's not good. And then the people who are already far gone, who are already constipated, they're contracting their stomach anyway because they're so uncomfortable.
Yes.
And because it hurts, so they get stuck in this cycle.
Yes. Preach. Yes. This is my shit. Pun intended. I don't have those issues, but this is, you know, like I said, when I got into pelvic floor PT, this is when my eyes got opened up to it. I just put out a freaking breathing thing, really, because I went down that rabbit hole of pelvic floor dysfunction. And so much of it was like, we don't need to stick anything inside of you right away. Like, you need to work to what you're eating, and then I can help you manually. You can lay on this thing and help, you know, your GI motility out. We can work on some breathing. We can help work on pressurization. And suddenly, so much is better. Like,
exactly.
I don't have to stick my finger up your ass like every session. Like, there's a better way and a more functional approach to doing this. Like, you're speaking my language. I love it. If you had to advise the folks out there, because not everyone is a pelvic floor physical therapist or has any idea what you're talking about, if you had to advise the folks on there about, like, just what do normal bowel or normal bathroom habits look like? Like, what kind of things should they be looking at? Like, hey, maybe I should be thinking about doing this, or maybe I have an issue. What would you say?
Yeah, if we're talking about poop and bowel movements, I tell my patients all the time, you should be going 1 to 2 times a day. And it should always be pain-free. You should not be straining. You should not be in there for a long time. For some reason, like, guys spend forever in the bathroom. I'm not sure why.
Just hiding.
Probably to his, hiding.
Just
but hiding. Not good.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Now there's some talk that you can possibly go every other day if that's been your normal for your whole life, because there's a chance that it just might take that long. But for the most part, 1 to 2 times a day, or else you're constipated. I have so many people who come in saying they're not constipated, and then I dig around a little bit and they are.
Yeah.
They think that 3 times a week is good, or they think that not going on vacation for a week long is good, and that's not. So
yes.
And then you can really go down the rabbit hole of what color is your poop. It should be, you know, a medium to dark brown. It should sink. It shouldn't float. And it should look like, you know, if you pull out like a Bristol stool chart that you learned in school, it should be that nice, like we were going to be the Bristol stool chart for Halloween at our like someone was going to be a rabbit, someone was going to be a snake. But it should be that, like, it should be a nice, like firmish, soft, like sausage, look like a snake. Shouldn't be too thin. So then if it's too thin, that could mean something. If it's rabbit pellets, that could mean something. So just educating people about, are you doing all those things? And then have you looked, and tell me what it is.
And so if people are now, because everyone's like, I was going to go look. If they're like, oh shit, my shit doesn't look like it's supposed to, what would you advise them to do?
For I've completely forgot. I never asked you how your poop was today.
Today, I'm trying to think from this morning.
That's how I wanted to
open
up.
That was the opener.
It was going to be like, hey, how are you? How are you pooping?
So I actually take, in the morning, I drink, and I have a nutrition coach. I take, it's lemon juice, water, and sea salt. And I have that every morning. And it really helps with us kind of getting things moving. So I'm very regular. This morning was great, and like I don't have a chart next to my toilet or anything, but I do check every time, because not that I've ever had any GI issues or any pills, but I think it's ingrained in me from PT. I don't really know. So every morning without fail, and squatty potty is in full effect. I have an issue with how fucking high the toilets are in general now. Have you noticed this?
Amen. It's keeping me in business.
Dude! Like, this is a problem. Like, this is actually a problem.
I mean, your anorectal angle gets to be like 90 degrees, and then everyone's straining, and so they're valsalving, they're contracting their pelvic floor, and it's a big problem. This is why I love hiking, because I'm pooping in the woods and I'm just squatting like it should be.
You gotta squat. Like, you know, you have so many people that they talk about this. Like, if it came to that, so many people would just like die because they can't squat. Can't move. And so now we're building toilets to accommodate this, but then like giving you colon cancer and giving you GI problems because the toilets, my feet don't even reach the ground on some of these. And I'm like, I'm not like a super short person. Like, I'm an average height. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, we stopped moving as humans. And so now we're just building things to make us even worse as humans. Like, this is a problem. It's a big problem.
Yeah. So the basic education with my patients, I tell them that bowel health is so important, and it's so hard for me to fix constipation because it's affected by five different things, and I can only help you affect one of the five. So you're in charge of four. And we know with patients that never goes well. So I drill into them that, and I have them look at all of these five things when if they're not pooping like we just talked about they should be pooping, I have them take a really hard look at all these five things. And we go through all of them. So I say, how much water are you drinking? You know, your stool is 75% water. People don't realize how much water they should be drinking a day. And even people who realize don't remember to do it. So gosh, there's like water apps you can get on your phone now that remind you to drink. Maybe that's something you need. I am running in and out of rooms all day. So I have a Nalgene that I fill up, and I make sure that I fill that up, you know, 3 to 4 times a day. You need to do something where you're making sure that you're getting enough water. Second is diet, which I actually find of the five, that's not as important as the other four. But as long as you're like, you should not be eating crap, you know, like decrease the processed foods as much as possible. Get some fiber in your diet. A lot of my weightlifters are eating so much protein and not balancing that with increase in fiber.
Yes.
So you need to make sure that you do that too. Three is your activity level. So I have a ton of patients who are not moving enough, and I have a ton of people who just got constipated when they stopped moving, or it happens in the winter. So we have a talk about that. Number four is your stress levels. So obviously our bowels are very tied to, it's like our second nervous system in our body. There's more neurons in your large intestine. I think that's the second most other than your brain.
Insane.
So stress really affects it. I explain that and explain it to your patients. Like I always say, if a bear were to come into the room right now, what would happen? Like you and I would either fight the bear together or go out the window. We're not going to spend our time pooping. So our brain tells our digestion to shut down. So we either like poop ourselves mm-hmm. and have diarrhea and just get it out so that we can go do what we need to do, or we hold it yes. in. So you cannot be in this constant state of a bear is in the room
yes.
or else you're going to get really constipated. Yeah. And then the last one of the five is the only thing that I can help them with, which is how are their abdominal and pelvic muscles? Mm-hmm. You know, is their rib cage? I always say your rib cage should really be moving out like bucket handles forward. Everyone comes in, maybe because we're on the East Coast, but everyone, their rib cage is in and they almost have this bell shape yeah. to their stomach. Yes. And I want to see like the Pepsi can. So let's move those ribs. Let's move your thoracic spine and get that top portion to open up a little bit so that you're not pushing all that pressure down. Making sure everything we talked about, making sure your hip flexors are good, making sure your hip mobility is good, that then you can give them some education about how to sit on the toilet. And then yes, there is some things that you can check with their pelvic muscles. Are they incredibly tight? Are they not able to relax at all because they've been kind of stuck in this cycle for a long time? And sometimes you do need to do some biofeedback or some manual work with them to help them try to relax those muscles or realize where they are.
So good. You are speaking my language. And anyone out there, it doesn't matter if you guys are even PTs. The things that she just talked about are things that you can and should be discussing with your patients or your clients or whatever, your family members, yourself. These are not things like you need a freaking doctorate to discuss with the people that you care about, the people you're trying to help. And it can and will make a big difference. I think that we love to go, we love to go after like the nuanced, sexy stuff. And like nobody wants to go in after the foundation of the fundamentals. Because again, they're not sexy and it usually takes longer. But that's what we need to be doing. Because then people actually get better and they stay better. And then if you need to go and do some like, whatever, neurohacks, tricks, things like that, okay. But go after this foundational stuff. This is how people will get better. Like we talk about, you know, being resilient and anti-fragile. And then we look for all these shortcuts and like hacks. And it's like, just go back to the foundations, because we are, as humans, incredible. If we can just get things kind of doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it's simple. It's the keystone habit. You just need to keep it simple, and it needs to be something where people don't feel so overwhelmed. So you go through those five with them. They usually tell you right off the bat which ones they suck at, and I give them one or two to work on. And I say that it's, you know, we're talking about a balance between all five. And then once your body hits that threshold where you have enough of all five, then your bowels are going to get better. But your bowels are like a carrier ship. They're not going to just turn around overnight. It takes a while, and it takes some dedication. It takes some lifestyle changes. And like you said in the beginning, I almost canceled this podcast on you because I was in the ER on Sunday night, which I've kept a secret, but I think people should know I'm a pelvic PT and a damn good one. And I was in the hospital on Sunday night for constipation, for impaction. And it was a big problem. I thought, I went because I have such a busy week this week. I figured might as well get the CT scan to just rule out anything else because I've been feeling like poop for a couple of weeks now. And I've been trying to do all my stuff to make it better, and it didn't work. And so I had to really reevaluate the past 2 days and make some real lifestyle changes as far as stress in my life and how I balance that out. So I could do visceral massage on myself all night and eat the right things and drink enough water and do my hip mobility. But if I'm not balancing that stress, that big number four in the five things, doesn't matter. Dude. So it tells you, like, your body is going to tell you when you need to make shifts in it. So that's why I want people to really, that's why you need to look in the toilet. And that's the first thing, because you need to make sure that you're okay.
Listen.
You need to practice what we preach. You need to listen to your body.
Take the time to listen. I love that you shared that story. Thank you for sharing that story. It's not easy as providers to like say when we are not perfect, because some reason people think that we're like supposed to be perfect. And I post things online and I'm like, oh, my knee hurt and my hip. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, because I'm a fucking human. Like, yeah, it happens. And then we move forward and we learn from it. And so I think it's hugely valuable that you share that, especially because it shows like you can do these other things, but you know, when it comes to what is going on in your life 24/7 and stress and the effect that that can have, just you can know all the right things and do all the other things, but stress is a fucking, that's a relentless, man. So thank you. Are you feeling better? Well, are you better now?
I am, but let me tell you, when it was going on, I my bowels are normally awesome. I love talking about my bowels because it's my favorite thing. I asked my boyfriend, I think our second date, how he poops, because that's always what I want to know. And I think, like, if you're online dating right now, I would put that in your dating profile. Like, ask, like, how are you pooping? Because right off the bat, you can get rid of some people who you don't want to deal with. Up.
No deal.
You also may get a lot of creeps, so maybe don't do that. But I felt like, when I say I felt like crap, I felt everything that people complain about when they come to my office and they haven't gotten help for. I had severe back pain, like severe. And I'm in great shape. I mountain climb like crazy and do all this stuff. And even with all the training that I do, I've never felt back pain like that. So I had intense back pain. I had intense hip pain. And then what scared me was I had all this upper abdominal pain, not to mention like a watermelon sitting in my like left lower quadrant. And then I was like, just in case I'm not, like I better go just to get checked. That's how severe the pain was. And I'm pretty good with pain. So all of your people, that's why I want to tell orthopedic therapists, if your people are complaining of back pain, low back pain, or even just regular back pain or abdominal or upper quadrant pain, like ask them about their poop, because people could have I had a back massage on Friday. People can massage your back all day. It's not going to get rid of your poop.
Dude.
And that's still going to be
Preach.
There.
Preach. There is a huge gap in our education as physical therapists when it comes to the front of your body. Like,
yes.
So when I was doing more public floor stuff, I took a visceral mobilization class through IPA, actually. And that was my first just time touching someone's stomach. Like, we don't talk about that in school. Like, you come in and one of the main things, you know, that you treat as physical therapist is back pain, SI joint pain, whatever you want, anything in that area. Mm-hmm. And yet we never.
Are you asking
about Right, we never
poop?
Talk about the front. Like, it's not attached. Like, it's just this thin layer of muscles on the back that we're going to fucking deal with. It blew. Right. I never thought about it until I took that course. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, holy shit, we just missed this whole entire section. And this is what you said earlier, this is an orthopedic issue too. It's not like, oh, pelvic floor, it's just this one thing. Like, if you have someone coming in with back pain, you better be looking at the front and what's inside of all of that. Like, this is all connected, all attached. And so we need to adopt this approach that we have for patellofemoral pain syndrome. We understand now the knee hurts, it's not the knee's problem. We need to do that with everything else. Your back hurts, like, right. Okay, I can touch your back. But it's probably not that that's like the main thing. Let's see everything else around it and what's going on, including how you poop. So, yes. Thank you. Like,
and I'm going to argue that I won't look really anywhere else until I get the pooping under control. Because, again, I don't care where things hurt or where things are tight. If you're constipated, you're not regulating pressure well at all. And if you can't do that, then I don't care what's happening elsewhere, because again, keystone habit, if I can change your bowels, I'm going to put all my emphasis on doing that, because then everything else, once there's not 5-6 pounds of shit in you, is going to feel so much better. Case in point, it's only been 2 days and I've been doing a lot more and pooping a lot more, and I feel so much better.
I mean,
so that's where the attention needs to go.
I would agree with you. I think, you know, I'm all about not letting the pendulum swing too far one way or the other. But if it has to swing, like I've always said when I teach my maestro courses, that if you can fix someone, or rather, if you address things, and I put my hands in front of me, like I'm doing it right now. I put my hands in front of me basically from like my head down to like where my pelvic floor is. And I'm like, if you address this stuff in here, everything else gets better. Mm-hmm. Like, we love to like go after these like little nuanced other fucking things. But like, if you address things within that region and what's in the middle of that, your guts, everything else gets better, which is why, you know, I'm such a big proponent of working on breathing and working on anything that's in that midline area, with poop clearly going to be one of your central things, because if it's just, if your guts are unhappy, everything else is unhappy. Your nervous system is unhappy. You can't pressurize. Like, this is a foundational thing, a keystone thing, like Tamara is saying. So I would agree with you, homie. Like, we need to be looking at this most basic human function and making sure that we're doing the right things.
Right. And it's right below, like, breathing. So there's so many great, I was watching a lot of great TED Talks on pooping and things like that. And they talked about in Chinese medicine that we store grief in our lungs. Yeah. And then that's why when we're upset, we're stressed, that then starts to leak down into our large intestines, which are right below the lungs. Huh. And that's why I love listening to Chinese medicine, because there's an explanation for that in Western medicine, because obviously when you're stressed, then you don't start to breathe from your diaphragm, you don't move your rib cage. Great. Now you have that tightness on the top of your Pepsi can. It goes in, you get the bell, and then your large intestines literally can't turn around and come down, and everything gets smushed down. You have increased pressure, your pelvis freaks out.
Yes.
And on and on.
Yes. Preach. Then I don't have to do it.
So, breathe and poop. That's like,
that's going to be then my next video I'm coming out with. This one was just breathing. Next one's going to be breathing and pooping with Maestro. Like,
yes.
It's
But seriously, yes.
These are like foundational things. It is one of the things that I addressed in that video, because everything that you just said, yes, these systems are connected from, and if you guys are like, Eastern medicine. Okay, just talk about physics. Like, that's science, right? That you can like sink your teeth into and understand, like, this will affect this system and it affects that system, and that's why you feel like shit, and that's why you're performing the way you are, and that's why you always have to wear a weight belt for everything, and it's also messing you up. So here we are, back on the toilet. I love it. So good. So good. Tamara, we're hitting close to that hour mark, and I like to kind of keep it around there so people are driving, whatever the fuck they're doing, they can get this all wrapped up in that time.
Hopefully they're not in the bathroom listening to this. If you're in the bathroom, get out. You've been in there too long. An hour is
what
too
is
long.
An appropriate bathroom time?
Gosh, I would love to say like 30 seconds.
Boom. She's in and out. But really,
in and out, yeah, and then don't force anything. If it's not happening, just walk away. Try again later.
I like it.
And I don't even think we talked about this. Don't try to. If you have the opportunity to go poop, like, go poop when your body tells you it's time to poop.
Dude.
Because a lot of times, if you dispel that, good luck for the rest of the day. Because you just told your body, I can't handle this right now. So get used to pooping in other bathrooms. I've gotten very used to pooping outside. Just do it. When your body tells you it's time to poop, allow it to poop.
I love it. I am certain that some of the listeners are so just like mouths open right now, and they're like, pooping outside? What? What? All right, guys, we'll meet you where you're at. Take a step back and let's just like think about our indoor habits and how it relates to everything else. And then when you're ready, you can cross that bridge, because what she's saying, like, I cannot stand behind it any more than I am. I want to scream it from the rooftops. Yes, this episode probably should have happened sooner, but actually I'm glad it happened now, because I got more people listening to the podcast, and this is something that really affects quality of life, and it's a foundational thing. It's something we can be addressing very easily, very simply, and just asking your patients, clients, customers, whatever you call them, friends, family, any of that, and making a big difference. So thank you for being such a proponent of the poop. I appreciate it.
Oh, I am. And I hope that people listening to this start to do it. And when you talk to your friends, when you talk to your family, instead of asking, are you okay? Ask, is your poop okay? Oh, it's a much better question, because if they're like, no, I haven't gone in a couple of days, then like, talk to them about it. Maybe they're stressed. Maybe they're not drinking enough water. Maybe their diet's not good.
So good. And then you refer
to be a hit at family parties.
I'm sure, yes. Then if they do come back with issues, refer them to a pelvic floor physical therapist. That's what they are there for, if you need more information. So if folks want to contact you or pick your brain or follow you or find you, because you're a tremendous resource, and I will link all that stuff in the show notes, the article and such. But if they want to contact you or follow you, how can they do that?
Well, the best thing, our website is innerdynamicspt.com. We actually have some great YouTube videos. We have a YouTube channel. One of our therapists does a great job showing how to do an abdominal massage on yourself. So go take a look at that. That's actually gotten our most hits on our YouTube channel because like a bunch of creepy men in Russia seem to like watching her touch your stomach. But it's great. Go look at that. We've got some hip mobility stuff there and other things that could help. Again, that Supercharge Your Pelvis article, I think, is super helpful, especially to send to patients because it's concise and it kind of explains how the whole system works. And then to I'm harder to find. I'm Alpine Addict on Instagram because, I'm a climber. And you can also email me at tamara@innerdynamicspt.com.
Got it. I will link all the things. Innerdynamicspt.com, Alpine Addict if you want to go on the Instagram, or tamara@innerdynamicspt.com. I'm going to put them all in the show notes, guys, so don't worry. Not like scrolling right now and like you're freaking out. Everything will be there. No freaking out because then it's going to mess up your poop, right? So let's stay nice and easy. I'll link that for you guys. Tamara, you have been incredible. Like, incredible. This was an episode that needed to happen, and I'm glad that it happened. And hopefully it starts the discussion and starts the conversations with people and then makes them a little bit less uneasy about something that really needs to be just commonplace and common speak. So thank you for being you in all of your poopness.
Thanks for talking about shit with me.
It was needed.
We got deep into the shit today.
It was deep needed. She came up to me at CS7 and we were talking, and this year, and she was like, "We're gonna talk about poop," and I was like, "All right, man, we're gonna
for
do
a
it.
Full hour.
We're gonna do it." It went by fast, though, right? Like
it did.
It's a valuable topic. So thank you, and I'm sure we're gonna chat again. But thank you for taking time. I know you had a full day, and you're dealing with some health stuff. So thank you. Really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yeah, you got it. You guys listening, thank you. I know you could have been doing anything, but you chose to listen to us talk about poop. And for that, I am endlessly
you are
grateful.
The shit.
You are the shit. I love this. Just end it there. Mic drop. You are the shit. If you like this episode, do me a solid. Give me some stars. 5, preferably. If you loved it, subscribe. It does help people find the podcast, and we want to spread the word. All right. Alright, cutting out for real this time, guys. Endlessly appreciative. Until next time, friends, Tamara and Maestro,